Speech War, Document 14. President Roosevelt and Mr. Harriman. Letter written by Mr. Roosevelt, October 8th, Idaho 6, to Honorable James S. Sherman, Member of Congress from New York, enclosing a copy of correspondence with Mr. E.H. Harriman, in the fall of 1904. My dear Sherman, since you left this morning I succeeded in getting hold of the letters to which I referred, and I sent you a copy of Governor Odell's letter to me of December 10th, 1904. As I am entirely willing that you should show this letter to Mr. E. H. Harriman, I shall begin by repeating what you told me he said to you in the occasion last week, when you went to ask him for a contribution to the campaign. You informed me that he then expressed great dissatisfaction with me, and said, in effect, that as long as I was at the head of the Republican Party or, as it was dominated by the policies which I advocate and represent, he would not support it, and was quite indifferent, whether Hearst beat Hughes or not, whether the Democrats carried Congress or not. He gave, as a reason for his personal dislike of me, partly my determination to have the railroad supervised, and partly the alleged fact that after promising him to appoint Depew ambassador to France I failed to do it, and I understood you to say that he alleged that I made this promise at a time when he had come down to see me in Washington, when I requested him to raise $250,000 for the Republican presidential campaign which was then on. Any such statement is a deliberate and willful untruth. By rights it should be characterized by an even shorter and more ugly word. I never requested Mr. Harriman to raise a dollar for the presidential campaign of 1904. In the contrary, our communications, as regards the campaign related exclusively to the fight being made against Mr. Higgins for governor of New York, Mr. Harriman being immensely interested in the success of Mr. Higgins, because he regarded the attack on Higgins as being really an attack on him, Mr. Harriman, and in his friend, Governor Odell, and he was concerned only in getting me to tell Mr. Cortelli how to aid Mr. Higgins so far as he could, which I gladly did. He also, I think more than once, urged me to promise to make Senator Depew ambassador to France, giving me in detail the reason why this would help Governor Odell, by pleasing certain big financial interests. I informed him that I did not believe it would be possible for me to appoint Mr. Depew, and furthermore expressed my surprise at his saying that the men representing the big financial interests of New York wished that appointment made, inasmuch as a number of them had written to me asking that the same place be given to Mr. Hyde, and that as a matter of fact, while I was not prepared to announce any decision, I doubted whether I could appoint either Mr. Depew or Mr. Hyde to the place. As soon as Mr. Harriman heard that Mr. Hyde was a candidate and had asked the name of his backers, he hastily said that he did not wish to be understood as antagonizing Mr. Hyde and would be quite willing to support him, and though I understood that he still preferred Mr. Depew, he left me strongly under the impression that he would be almost as well satisfied with Mr. Hyde, and was much discontented at my informing him so positively, not once, but repeatedly, that I did not think I should be able to appoint either. His and my letters now before me of the fall of 1904 run as follows. In his return from spending the summer in Europe, in September 20th, he wrote me stating that, if I thought it desirable he would come to see me at any time, either then or later, he had been, as you remember, a delegate to the Republican National Convention, having voted for my nomination. In September 23rd I answered this letter, saying, at present there is nothing for me to see you about, though there were one or two points in my letter of acceptance which I should have liked to discuss with you before putting it out. In October 10th I wrote him, in view of the trouble over the state ticket in New York, I should much like to have a few words with you. Do you think you can get down here within a few days and take either lunch or dinner with me? Quote, the trouble I spoke of had reference to the bolt against Higgins, that is, in reality against Mr. Harriman and Mr. Harriman's friend, Governor Odell. A reference to the files of the New York papers at that time will show that there was a very extensive bolt against Mr. Higgins upon the ground that Governor Odell had nominated him, and that he had in some manner favored Mr. Harriman over much, neither ground, in my judgment, being tenable. Mr. Harriman's backing of Governor Odell and extreme anxiety that he should win out, by securing Higgins' election, was a matter of common notoriety, and mentioned in all the papers, notably in the New York Sunday. In October 12th Mr. Harriman wrote me, "I am giving a very large part of my time to correcting the trouble here, and intend to do so, if any effort in my part can accomplish it. Point. 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 I will take occasion the first of next week to run down to see you, and think by that time the conditions will be very much improved." After receiving this letter I wrote Mr. Harriman the following letter, which I give in full. Personal. October 14, 1904. My dear Mr. Harriman, a suggestion has come to me in a roundabout way that you do not think it wise to come on to see me in these closing weeks of the campaign, but that you are reluctant to refuse, inasmuch as I have asked you. Now, my dear sir, you and I are practical men, and you are on the ground and know the conditions better than I do. If you think there is any danger of your visit to me causing trouble, or if you think there is nothing special I should be informed about, or no matter in which I could give aid, why, of course give up the visit for the time being, and then a few weeks hence, before I write my message I shall get you to come down to discuss certain government matters not connected with the campaign. With great regard, sincerely yours. You will see that this letter is absolutely incompatible with any theory that I was asking Mr. Harriman to come down to see me in my own interest, or intended to make any request of any kind for help from him. In the contrary, all I was concerned with in seeing him was to know if I could be of help in securing the election of Mr. Higgins, a man for whom I had the highest respect, and who I believed would be, as in fact he has been, a most admirable governor. Moreover, the following letter will show that Mr. Harriman did not have in his mind any idea of my asking him to collect money, and that, in the contrary, what he was concerned about in connection with my letter to him was the allusion I made to the fact that I would like to see him, before I wrote my message to discuss certain government matters not connected with the campaign. His letter, which is of November 30th, runs as follows. Dear Mr. President, I just have had a telephone talk with Mr. Labe, and requested him to give you a message from me. I drew his attention to the last paragraph of your letter to me of October 14th last, and explained that of course I did not want to make a trip to Washington, unless it should be necessary, that the only matter I knew of, and about which I had any apprehension, and which might be referred to in your coming message to Congress, is that regarding the Interstate Commerce Commission, and what the attitude of the railroads should be toward it. I have communications from many conservative men in the West, asking me to take the matter up, they having, which I have not, information as to what you propose to say in your message in that subject, and I am very apprehensive about it. Mr. Labe stated he believed that this part of the message could be sent to me, and I hope that he will do so. I sincerely believe it would be best for all interests that no reference be made to the subject, and in any event, if referred to in such a way as not to bring about increased agitation. It is, as you well know, the conservative element, and the one on which we all rely, which is the most seldom heard from. Yours sincerely. This letter to me was crossed by one from me, which reads as follows. Strictly personal. November 30th, 11th. My dear Mr. Harriman, Mr. Labe tells me that you called me up today on the telephone and recalled my letter to you of October 14th, in which I spoke to you of a desire to see you before sending in my message, as I wanted to go over with you certain governmental matters, and you added that you had heard that I had referred to the Interstate Commerce Commission, that you regretted this and wished I had left it out. In writing to you I had in view, especially, certain matters connected with currency legislation, and had not thought of discussing railroad matters with you. However, if it had occurred to me, I should have been delighted to do so, But if you remember, when you were down here both you and I were so interested in certain of the New York political developments that I hardly, if at all, touched on governmental matters. As regards what I have said in my message about the Interstate Commerce Commission, while, as I say, I should have been delighted to go over it with you, I must also frankly say that my mind was definitely made up. Certain revelations connected with the investigation of the Beef Trust caused me to write the paragraph in question. I went with extreme care over the information in possession of the Interstate Commerce Commission and of the Bureau of Corporations before writing it. I then went over the written paragraph again and again with Paul Morden, who is of all my cabinet the most familiar with railroad matters, of course, and with Root, Knox, Taft, and Moody. It is a matter I had been carefully considering for 2 years, and had been gradually, though reluctantly, coming to the conclusion that it is unwise and unsafe from every standpoint to leave the question of rebates where it now is, and to fail to give the Interstate Commerce Commission additional power of an effective kind in regulating these rates. Let me repeat that I did not have this question in mind when I asked you to come down, but that I should most gladly have talked it over with you if it had occurred to me to do so, but, as a matter of fact, as you will remember, when you did come down to see me, you and I were both so engaged in the New York political situation that we talked of little else, and finally that the position I have taken has not been taken lightly, but after thinking over the matter and looking at it from different standpoints for at least 2 years, and after the most careful consultation with Morden, Taft, Moody, Knox, and Root as to the exact phraseology I should use. I do not send you a copy, simply, because I have given no one a copy, not even the man above mentioned. It is impossible, if I give out copies of any portions of my message to prevent the message being known in advance, and the three press associations who now have the message are under a heavy penalty not to disclose a word of it before the appointed time. Sincerely yours. In December 2nd he wrote me the following one letter in the same subject, Dear Mr. President, thank you for your favor of the 3/8. It was natural for me to suppose that railroad matters would be included in any discussion you and I might have before writing your message. I am of the opinion that an effective Interstate Commerce Commission could regulate the matter of rebates, and absolutely prevent the same, without any additional power of any kind, and, as you say, Paul Morden is more familiar with such matters than anyone else in your cabinet, and I believe he will agree with me in this. I fear there has been a lack of cooperation. During the enormous development of the last 4 years, the railroads have found it very hard to keep pace with the requirements imposed upon them, and the so-called surplus earnings, as well as additional capital, have been devoted to providing additional facilities and the bettering and enlarging of their properties, so as to give the increased and better service required of them. This work of betterment and enlargement must go on, and is all important for the proper development of all sections of the country. There is little doubt that during the next decade every single track railroad in the country will have to be double-tracked and provide enlarged terminal and other facilities, and any move that will tend to cripple them financially would be detrimental to all interests over the whole country. I beg that you will pardon my not signing this personally, as I have to leave to catch my train for Arden, and have asked my secretary to sign it for me. Yours sincerely. I was unable to agree with Mr. Harriman's views in the matter, and left my message unchanged, as regards the interstate commerce law. The rough draft of this portion of the message was completed in October, before the election.
I had always discussed with absolute freedom all my proposed moves in the trust and labor matters with the representatives of the big combinations or big railroads, as well as with the leaders of the labor men, of the farmers' organizations, the shippers' organizations, and the like. That is, I had as freely seen and communicated with Mr. Harriman, Mr. Morgan, Mr. Hill, and other railroad men, as I had seen and communicated with Mr. Gompers, Mr. Keith, Mr. Morrissey, Mr. Morrison, and other labor leaders. Mr. Harriman had,
like most of the big railroad men, always written me very strongly protesting against my proposed course, as regards the supervision and control over big combinations, and especially over the big railroads, in a letter of as of August 19, 1902, for instance, he expressed the fear that a panic would follow my proposed action. It will be seen that the above correspondence is entirely incompatible with what Mr. Harriman now, as you inform me, alleges as to my having asked him to secure money or to subscribe money for the presidential campaign.
As for the Depew matter, he professed throughout to be acting in the interest of Governor Odell, and though Governor Odell had been anxious that Mr. Depew should be nominated as ambassador to France at a time when he was supporting Governor Black for senator, he had changed his mind shortly after the last letter to me, above quoted, from Mr. Harriman, and in December 10th wrote me the letter I enclose, which reads in part, as follows. My dear Mr. Roosevelt, a great many of your friends here in New York would be very much delighted and pleased if you could find it possible to appoint Mr. James H. Hyde as minister to France. Large business interests have given to him splendid executive abilities, and his association with so many prominent businessmen would be fitting recognition of the effective work done by them in the last campaign. In addition to this, he has behind him, I am sure, the approval of Senator Platt and Senator Depew, and, so far, as I can speak for the organization, I believe his appointment would be, without question, more satisfactory than any that could be made from New York at the present time. Personally, I should appreciate your favorable consideration of this suggestion almost beyond anything else you could do for me. If you so desire, I shall be glad to come down to Washington and talk with you about it, but I believe there are others who are close to you and who feel just as I do, and I thought therefore that this letter would be sufficient as showing the attitude of the organizations and myself personally upon this important appointment. As you know, I was obliged to refuse the request of the New York financiers and of the Republican organizations of the state and city, not deeming it proper to appoint Mr. Hyde to the position he sought. So much for what Mr. Harriman said about me personally. Far more important are the additional remarks he made to you, as you inform me, when you asked him if he thought it was well to see Hearstism and the like triumphant over the Republican Party. You inform me that he told you that he did not care in the least, because those people were crooks and he could buy them, that whenever he wanted legislation from a state legislature he could buy it, that he could buy Congress, and that, if necessary, he could buy the judiciary. This was doubtless said partly in boastful cynicism and partly in a mere burst of bad temper because of his objection to the interstate commerce law and to my actions as president. But it shows the cynicism and deep-seated corruption which makes the man uttering such sentiments, and boasting, no matter how falsely, of his power to perform such crimes, at least as undesirable a citizen as Debs, or Moyer, or Haywood. It is because we have capitalists capable of uttering such sentiments and capable of acting on them that there is strength behind sinister agitators of the Hearst type. The wealthy corruptionist, and the demagogue who excites, in the press or in the stump, in office or out of office, class against class and appeals to the basest passions of the human soul, are fundamentally alike and are equally enemies of the Republic. I was horrified, as was Root, when you told us today what Harriman had said to you. As I say, if you meet him you are entirely welcome to show him this letter, although of course it must not be made public, unless required by some reason of public policy, and then only after my consent has first been obtained. Sincerely yours, Theodore Roosevelt.